To the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. Today is Tuesday. No, today is not Wednesday. Today is Tuesday. Dear Bumi is tomorrow. Right, we are going to be looking at a number of issues. There is one I thought that we would sort out, you know, well today, but I've been told my contacts on the issue, you know, have asked that I give them more time to study it. And let me tell you what it is. There's an ongoing controversy, you know, that involves the chambers of Wole Olanipekun and Co. One of the lawyers, Mr. Adekunbi Ogunde, wrote what we will call an inappropriate letter to the client of Odien Ajumogobia, you know, and then, of course, complaints were made. And invariably, there's a need. Somebody must be disciplined. And that discipline, to apply the discipline, has become highly controversial. I was going to take it on today, until I saw a story in the papers, page 12 of the Vanguard, and it says, Saipem Saga, My Whole Story by Adekunbo Ogunde. And she insists in the letter that the SAN, Mr. Olanipekun, knows nothing about her controversial letter to Saipem. So what she's trying to let us believe is that as a lawyer in the chambers, she wrote a letter proposing, you know, she wrote a letter to a client of another senior advocate. And in writing that letter, we will tell you the contents of the letter anyway, what it is. But she was trying to see, she was trying to lure the client over to her own chambers, made a few insinuations, and she wants us to believe very strongly that Mr. Wole Olanipekun knew nothing about it. I find it odd, but if he didn't know, he didn't know, but we'll see how that goes. And so she gives her story in the Vanguard today. It's a whole full page. And ironically, she's the daughter of a senior advocate of Nigeria herself. And she gives her account as to what has actually happened. And we'll take half of it on later this morning, but do a full exercise on Thursday because Diabumi comes up tomorrow. And we'll look at the veracity of what she has said. You know, by the way, Mr. Wole Olanipekun is an elderly man, is a senior advocate of Nigeria, is the chairman of the body of benchers, is the head of the body of benchers, who are the ones who are supposed to discipline lawyers. And I think he's been told to recuse himself so that the panel set up by the body of benchers can look into it. And the last I heard, I don't think he had done so. So we will read Mrs. Ogunde's article to some extent. Then on Thursday, I will get two or three lawyers that I have contacted to come and give their opinion on what it is. It doesn't sound too good, to be honest with you. It doesn't sound too good. But we'll sort that out. In the interim, I'm sure all our minds are on the I don't know whether to call it strike or rally or demonstration or whatever it is. But Nigeria Info has a correspondent on ground. And her name is, what's the name again? I've forgotten. Nena. Okay, so we're going to put a call through to Nena, our correspondent there. We'll put a call through. Is she online? Okay, so she's right there in the middle of the action. Okay, so just hold on and let me put a call through to her. Nena, good morning. Can you hear me? Nena.
Hello, good morning, sir.
Nena, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Are you safe? Anything going on around you?
No, nothing. We are fine. We are moving to government house now.
From where are you coming?
Ikeja, Underbridge.
Underbridge. And you're moving to the governor's office?
Yes, the governor's office.
What kind of a crowd is it? I mean, we can't see visually, but can you just give us a sense of the numbers?
Okay, so I think we will be over 100 here. Quite a number.
Okay.
There are many of them. There are different unions here. We have NUC, we have NUPEN, we have NASU, we have ASU, and other union members here. We are addressed by the NLC chairman in Lagos, Comrade Tessy.
Well, what did he say?
So she was basically talking about the reason why we are here, which is in solidarity with ASU. The strike has taken so long, 5 months after, and ASU is still on strike.
Yes.
So she addressed that. She talked to parents. She talked to many students are also here. She spoke to the students. And then she urged protesters to be very peaceful and be behind them, that the leader should be in front while the union members and other people be behind them. And then she urged us to be peaceful and then just basically to coordinate ourselves well so there will be no issues.
Do you have the police guarding you?
Yes, we do.
Are they armed?
Yes, they are.
I just asked, I know you sound surprised, but I have to know. Is there any indication at all that so far that, you know, area boys or whatever might be joining you?
No.
Any attempt?
No, none for now. None for now. Everybody is going about there. It's causing a lot of traffic, but then they are able to control it. The vehicles are moving very gently. But, I mean, people are going about their normal business. For now, no issue of area boy, no issue of anything like that.
What about the people you meet on the street? I mean, people in their houses, from their windows, from their balconies. Are they waving to you or are they just looking on? These things
so sometimes... So if you know Ikeja, you know that most people here are shop owners.
Yes.
So most of them are just outside their shop, looking at us, staring at us.
But their shops are open.
Yes, their shops are open. Business is going on. But you can hear people having side discussions about how the government has not done as too well.
Mm. Are you joining this rally because of your job or you're also there with them in spirit? Answer now.
I'm there with them in spirit because some of my siblings are also at home because of the strike.
Yes. Okay. So, what part of Ikeja are you now?
We are on that bridge, walking up. I'm not sure this road, but we are told that we are going to governor's office, but we are still on that bridge. They are trying to mobilize. You know, the crowd is a lot, and it's not very easy to manage human beings.
Yes.
Some people want to stay by the side. Some people want to be in front. Some people want to be by the side. So they're just trying to organize so that there will be no issue.
Is there anybody or group of persons that is helping out with water or snacks or whatever, or is every man to himself?
Every man to himself. I've not seen anybody, but it's good business for business people because they will sell water. Yes.
So you too, you have water with you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, if you see soft drinks, buy. I will roger you later.
Okay.
It's glad to know. I hope some other person gets to talk to you before the end of the day, and we look forward to your report. What time do you think you said what?
Southwest.
Yes.
Of Astu. He addressed us before we started moving.
Yes.
Dr. Adelaja.
Is it near you there?
No, none of them is around me.
That means you're at the back. You know if it's Waka, you're tired.
I'm in front. I'm actually in front. So I can get good pictures.
Okay. But I don't hear any action around you, though. Are they walking as if going to a funeral? Aren't they singing songs and things like that?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, everything around you seems to be quiet. Where are the songs? Are they not chanting songs or something?
They are chanting just behind. They are chanting in front of me.
But we can't hear them.
That's because I want to get so I can hear you.
You can hear me well. Okay.
I just,
these are the kind of questions people will be asking me here that you should say this mama did here. Okay, then I wish you all the best. Try and stay safe, okay?
Thank you.
Don't worry, and the next soft drink you take will be on me. I will send to you later. Yes, we can hear a bit of the action going on. We wish you all the best.
I'm talking close to them.
Okay.
There's a woman displaying here, so.
Okay. All right, Nena, thank you. Wow, that was our correspondent, Nena, right there at the scene. Of course, you know the issues involved. I had said at 7:30 that unless you really do have to go out, why don't you stay back and let's see how things turn out. I'm glad to know that it's quite peaceful. And at the end of the day, really, it's just a rally. I forgot to ask her that, okay, so from the secretariat, where do they go? Do they take back to Yab? I don't know how that is going to happen. I leave that to those who are coming, who will be on air behind me to still talk to Nena, maybe around 11, 12, thereabout. I hope the governor is ready to receive them. Of course, I will advise that, you know, he'd be a bit cautious this time around. So that he doesn't put his foot in it like it happened during the exercise. I think he'll be cautious. and he should be very careful the commitments he makes on behalf of people he has no control over. Okay? Right. So what do you think about all this? We'll open up our lines 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190, which is the number reserved for females. Can I have my first caller for today? Morning.
Uncle Jimmy, good morning, sir.
Morning. This is Damba Babi.
Yes, sir. This is Damba Babi.
Yes.
Uncle Jimmy, it's unfortunate we allow these people to go on this process alone. You know, it involves almost all of us.
Yes.
If you don't have children that are at home now, you have a neighbor, a brother, a sister whose children is at home. Secondly, what is happening in Nigeria, I don't need to be okay, security-wise, for all of us to sit this street as we speak now. Because I'm seeing something that is not right to me. I don't want to wake up one day and hear that this country is being taken over by terrorists, like what we are seeing in Afghanistan. It's gradually coming to reality now as we speak. When some people will go to threaten the president, and some people are happy, and I told them that, look, they did pick your president that day, somebody else will take over this country. Don't think Osibanjo is coming to power. And that is the implication of what is going to happen to us if we don't hit the street.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I don't know about that. What I do know is that if you have a sense of history, Nigeria crept into that civil war, that I can say. It sounded like a lot of political big brickbatting then, going to Aburi, coming back. Like they would say on the streets, like play. You know, slowly but surely, we found ourselves, okay, go and arrest him. It was called police action. I'll never forget that word, police action. So go and arrest Ojukwu and bring him down here. Before we knew it, we had 4 years of civil war on our hands. The security situation is very frightening. Very, very frightening. I think Abuja itself, I can almost say, in guerrilla terms, is under siege. It's not until we have a whole army. Once you have fear in the neighborhood, you're already under siege. It means anything can break at any time. Are we ready for such a thing? I don't know. There's no way you would know if we're ready until it actually happens. Because, of course, the military authorities won't come and address you and say, this is what we'll do and what we won't do. But are we as citizens ready? How patriotic are we? How have we been mobilized? How are we gingered up against something coming up? I remember those days of jingles, to keep Nigeria one is a task that must be done. And then one bizarre one that said that Gowon's name is Go On With One Nigeria. We had Go On With One Nigeria. We had to keep Nigeria one is a task that must be done and things like that. But Nigerians were gingered up a lot during the civil war, because we have a war on our hands, really and truly. Just that the format is different. And part of what also bothers me is, at a time like this, you want to measure how sympathetic are people to these people's cause. The question is that you might not have a lot of Nigerians being sympathetic to their cause, but you might have a lot of Nigerians who are not satisfied with those that are governing them for reasons that are quite obvious. The African Nigerian now is facing so much bloody challenges. Those who don't have look with despair. Those who have are running away from those who don't have. They cannot meet up with the demands. And nobody wants an onslaught on his livelihood and his lifestyle and so on and so forth, which is what we are having. I remember we used to talk about 010 or 020 or whatever it is. No breakfast, have lunch, no dinner, stuff like that. Now, we're beginning to have 000, where people's salary runs out in less than a week, is run out, and they spend the rest of the month on book me down or beg, borrow, or steal. You know, either you say, oh boy, I buy a road jammy one kid there. The best way you go, me saving nuggets. Or you borrow and say, okay, Philip, for me, 2K, I'll give you at the end of the month. He will look at you and he's like, okay, wait. And then still, of course, is the option that most people prefer, believe you me. the amount of pilfering that goes on in private homes, you know, that goes on around those who know, they will tell you. It's becoming people who you could trust before. Nowadays, you don't trust anybody. When you go want to go to bed, you put your wallet where your whatever is, you know, so that at least anybody who touches that one will have to cut you by the waist before you can gain access to it. Even wives are stealing from husbands these days. Yes. Okay, yes, husbands are also stealing from wives. So the times we're in are not good. And the disturbing part is what I would call the lack of mobilization on the part of the authorities, making it look as if the citizenry themselves are part of the enemies. I mean, look at the government reaction. They have ASUU's been on strike for only God knows how long. You know, they've been on strike for only God knows how long. And then the information minister, all he has to say is that we are not. It brings up some legal technicalities, showing very little sympathy publicly. He might have it within him, but I said publicly. Showing very little sympathy to the plight of the other ordinary Nigerians, going along a legal, and it's not the Attorney General. And that's why when he went that way, some of us had to bring him down to the human angle and say, can you name 10 ministers, including, 10 ministers, PAMSEX, and maybe this, who have whose children are in these universities that we are talking about. I'm sure if maybe one of the ministers or two of the ministers had their children in a Nigerian university, they would have whipped everybody into line, you know. But not all of us have access to the kind of money, you know, to send our kids abroad. I mean, some of us, before you start going on the social media, some of us are lucky by ways of where we were born. That didn't determine where I was born. So some of us are lucky in that regard, if you think you're going to go along that route to criticize. What is most unfortunate, again, is that it doesn't look as if those who want to come into power in 2023 are ready to address that issue frontally. It's all about this one said one in 18 something, this one did one argument on in 20, you wanted to be running 18. Is that the issue? I beg my people, I have to take a short break before I go on a run. When I come back, I take some of your calls, then I might want to read this part of Miss Ogunde's letter, which of course we are going to treat thoroughly on Thursday, but just to whet your appetite. So I'll take a short break and I'll soon be right back. Yes, so welcome back Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. Okay, Isoka was asking me jokingly. When I said that, you know, off air, we were talking about, you know, I feel that the president has been a little bit warm, you know, he's a bit distant from some of these things. That's his mien, though. For all you know, he might jolly well be concerned, but it gives an impression that, you know, this, what you get from his body language is maybe he couldn't be bothered, which would be sad. I think that maybe he just doesn't know how to. It couldn't have been so many years in the army. The other generals we've seen who are more whatever, but he just has this man. So Isoka was now asking me that Uncle Jimmy in a hot stone, in case the microphone was on, that Uncle Jimmy, what about this story of Jubril of Sudan? He's not a clone. He's not a clone. I don't know where Nnamdi Kanu crafted that from. Nnamdi Kanu is a genius, by the way. I love him, crazy guy. He was the one who crafted this Jubril of Sudan, whatever. It gained a lot of traction. But if you stretch your imagination far enough, you know that there's no way it could have happened. Come on. At the very least, if Oshibadu is talking to him, next to him, we will know if he's Jubril or not. I told her not to worry. Nothing like that, okay? Now, you're satisfied, right?
Satisfied.
Yeah, cool. Okay, cool. Yeah. So let's go back to Ms. Adekunbi Ogunde's story. Let me start from, and in a statement, Ogunde said she joined the chambers of Wole Olanipekun in December 2021 to supervise and oversee the firm's corporate and commercial practice, having worked on various transactions in that area for over 12 years. 12 years at the bar. Oof. And so she gives a history of how she joined the firm and so on and so forth. And she said, she further stated that because of her limited experience in the litigation space, she did the letter causing controversy in the legal circle to SIPEM. And that at the time when the matter between SIPEM and the River State government had been settled out of court about 2 months prior to her email of June 20, 2022. She said that even though the matter had been long settled out of court, her letter somehow got to former Minister Odeinu Ejemogobi Hassan, who was handling the matter for SIPEM, which resulted in the private correspondence between her and the chambers and that of Ejemogobia. Ms. Ogunde said though she mailed the learned silk to apologize for her honest mistake. Let me see if I even still have the original letter she sent. Because we didn't, this story came up just this morning and we haven't had time to okay, we'll give you the background. We'll read the letter to you on Thursday. But just, you know, the content really is soliciting for Ajumogobia's client and insinuating that they could handle it better. If I'm speaking, and there's no way, I wish I was writing it, it would be in parentheses. They could handle it better. Sure you get. So, that although she mailed the learned silk to apologize for her honest mistake and also got in touch with him on WhatsApp with the follow-up apologies from the chairman body of benchers, Olanipekun SAN, who is the principal of the client. She said her experience, this is 12 years at the bar, said her action, which arose out of her limited experience in litigation, should not be used as an instrument to fight any war with her principal partner or anybody at all, having had no hand in what she did that is crushing the entire world on her. Now, what she's saying here is that she alone, singularly, should be held responsible, and the principal should not be held responsible from a letter that emanated from his chambers. Now, I'm going to need some legal advice on that, but common sense tells me that if you write on behalf, if you're a counsel in the chambers, or any company for that matter, and you send out a letter, both you, the chambers itself, and the head of the chambers should be liable. That's my honest opinion. But we'll see how it turns out when I bring in two or three lawyers on Thursday. Then she gives a history into how she, you know, got into the chambers again. That is cropping up, as far as I'm concerned. It's completely irrelevant about how she was admitted and so on and so forth. She also talked about efforts that were made to reach out to Mr. Ajumogobia, but I don't think that takes away the need for discipline, because it was, apart from being a lawyer, I think it was highly unethical anyway, to write to somebody's client. That's more or less, quote and unquote, you know, wanting to, I don't want to use the word still, but to write, and then insinuate. That insinuation itself has all kinds of interpretations about how you could do it better. So that's the thrust of the story she has given here. We will make an attempt to see if we can talk to both herself and also Mr. Olanipekun. Chief, I think it's the chief. Let me be very careful here. Yes, Chief Olanipekun. So that's what we're going to do on Thursday. You might want to read this. It's on the Vanguard, page 12, and I'm going to have it replicated on my blog, jimmydisu.com. You might want to also, we'll have it replicated there. All said and done, I'm for discipline, not just in the bar, in our everyday lives. And the stories that are emanating from both the bar and the bench have not been too encouraging in times like this. And if we are going to cleanse this country, and the role that the lawyers will play, because they are the custodians of the law, invariably will be phenomenal. So we might as well start from there. Now, I'm not indicting anybody just yet. To be honest with you, I don't know anything about law, therefore I don't have any. But the moral of it, to me, looks, at least respectfully, I can say, suspect. Suspect. And I think this shouldn't have happened, even though she's admitted, you know. And I don't think, a lawyer with, 12 years experience will say she's not experienced enough to know what is right or wrong. If at 12 years you don't know, then you probably would never know the rest of your life. That's the way I look at these things. So we'll take a critical look at it. We don't want to indict anybody just yet. I will try all I can to get in touch with Chief Olanigbekun and Miss Ogunde herself. Okay? In fact, it'd be nice if they could come to the studio. I'd be more than glad to have them in. All right. So that's where we'll be. Let me now take your calls again about, you know, the what happened this morning. Well, what's going on, rather. Let's talk about this, the Olanipekun case yet, until we get some lawyers, you know, give us a clearer picture. I had thought I could bring them in this morning, but like I said, they said, look, JB, let's study this account so that we can give you well-rounded. I've contacted, I won't tell you who I've contacted yet, but okay, my good friend is not in town, so you know, if you're trying to guess, he's not Candid Johnson. It's true, I spoke to him. I've actually spoken to some lawyers. I've spoken to Kunle Uthman, he's a member of the Body of Ventures. I've spoken to the chairman of the Bar Association, the president of the Bar Association, who is out of the country. I've spoken to my personal person, Libros. I've spoken to GT, spoken to all these people to ask them what is going on. And of course, I've also spoken to Candid Johnson, who again also is out of the country, but we'll see how it goes. So we are going to have a real roller coaster on Thursday. Okay? Now let me take another call right here now. Hello, good morning. Good morning. Morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Yes, my name is Genga Taylor.
Yes.
Okay, I'm calling. I hope I'm into Nigeria Info.
Yes, now you dialed it now.
Yes. Good morning, sir. My name is Genga Taylor. Morning, sir.
Who did you want to?
Okay. Yes, I want to speak to you, Uncle Jimmy. Good morning. I didn't know that I already got you. Okay. Let me start by saying that, you know, Labour used to be my constituency.
Yes.
Sir, what they are doing today, in my own assessment, is just giving the government a pat on the back. It's just a walk, like giving somebody a pat on the back.
Mm.
Sir, if they really wanted something to happen, what I would have expected the Labour to do.
Yes.
And which is the right thing, is to declare, even if it is just half day, from 6 a.m. to 12 noon, that nobody, all workers, private, public, will just sit at home. Knowing that government and hoodlums can hijack whatever, whether peaceful or not, you will see that nobody will touch this one, because I'm sorry to say, there is, like you use the word, is suspect. Sir, what I would have expected, if they really wanted something to happen, is to give a directive that all Nigerians, I know some people will not join, that by 6 a.m. this morning, nobody will step out until 12 noon. Just 6 hours to shut down this country. Just 6 hours, you will see. But, sir, like I said, I mean, it is not in the DNA of this current corp of leadership of NLC Labour to protest, to do anything. I've protested with them. I've joined them in rallies. But, sir, we know what we know. Thank you very much, sir.
What do you know? Patrick Thorpe here has sent me a message. It says, morning, sir, about the NLC rally. Don't you think the word 3 days granted by Sanwo-Olu could be an attempt to stop Lagos workers from joining? A whole 4 days to go and register to vote, an exercise that has been concluded by many. Okay, yes, you did that. And now that you mentioned the issue, you know, this morning we spoke about the directive from the government to the civil servant, 4 days off to go and register. Well, somebody sent me the memo that was sent to the memo that was sent to the workers. And it says that it is the civic responsibility of every citizen to participate. It says it is notified for general information that all public servants who are yet to register for or collect their PVCs from designated INS centers are advised to do so before the deadline of 30th July 2022. That all public servants who are yet to register. I think that instead of saying who are yet to register, who want to register, because registration is not by force. So when you say that who are yet to register, it means that you expect all of them to register. But no, it's a freedom, it's a choice. And this registration has been going on for donkey years. So most likely, there are some people that don't want to participate, you know, and it's their choice. So there's a bit of an innuendo here. And it says that to this end, governor has graciously approved. Why do we use this word, graciously approved? A governor is just a governor. He's not an emperor. Why do you use the word graciously approved, civil servants? Anyway, it says the governor has graciously approved a work-free day for public servants to enable them to process, collect their PVCs from their respective local governments. They're expected to return back to work with their voter's card after this exercise. This is the memo. It says here, this is what the Punch was referring to this morning. Let me read it again. To this end, Mr. Governor has graciously approved a work-free day for public servants to enable them to process, collect their PVCs from their respective local governments, and are expected to return back to work with their voter's card after this exercise. Accordingly, accounting officers are hereby enjoined to excuse their officers in the respective grade levels on the designated dates as tabulated below. And it says, accounting officers and all public servants are to ensure compliance whilst giving this circular the service-wide publicity it deserves. And it's signed by my bro here, Akeem Muriokunla, who is the head of service. So that lays to rest the controversy, unless this letter is fake. It's dated 25th of July. One more time, the area that caused a bit of an argument is whether they might have to show their PVCs, and is insinuated here where it says, to this end, Mr. Governor has graciously approved a week work-free day for public servants to enable them to process their PVCs, and that they are expected to return back to work with their voter's card after this exercise. Your voter's card is your personal property. Why are you expected to come back to work with it? It's supposed to be in your bottom box. On the day of election, you bring it out. When you finish, you put it back in the bottom box. You know, so the insinuation is quite clear, and I think this development could have been avoided, and it's quite unfortunate. It is important that sometimes we do these things without realizing the implication. Even if this was done in good faith, it sends a bad signal. It gives the impression that civil servants might be coerced. You know, you might have a situation where they might be coerced. Of course, another abu of mine, Kulu Uthman, he quickly reacts. He's very quick to put pen to paper, and he's issued a statement. And part of what he's saying is that the above directive to declare 4 work-free days for workers to get their PVC is reported in major newspapers and is an extreme directive. He says he should know, he's a lawyer, member of body of ventures, he says it's unlawful, unconstitutional, and a directive tantamount to abuse of power and lack of basic understanding of constitutional law. It's an extreme directive, unlawful, unconstitutional, and a directive tantamount to abuse of basic understanding of constitutional law. And he says, will an entire bureaucracy be shut down for 4 days in this manner, knowing as a fact that the governor himself is a gubernatorial candidate of the APC in the 2023 gubernatorial elections? Then he makes a political statement here that I would skip. And he also talks about roads, political statement about roads being bad and so on and so forth. And the governor, you know, setting his mind on those things. I will skip all those. But in principle, I think I agree with Mr. Uthman that this should not have happened. What do you think? Let's hear your views. I'll take the next caller. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, Uncle Jimmy, good morning, sir.
Morning, how are you?
Fine, sir. Quick one.
Yes.
I
can't hear you.
You say you ask questions.
The line is not clear. You have to call back. Hello, good morning. Hello, where are females? Are they on vacation? Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, how are you?
This is Simon from Lake Falls One.
Yes.
Okay, sir, please, I want to give you some little experience that I encountered at the Tiosa Local Government yesterday.
Yes.
So I went in for my photo card. I went there since around 4 o'clock early in the morning. Getting to that place, some people came there. They asked us to explain the session that the INEC official they will soon come. Staying there like over 30 minutes, not seeing anybody. I've collected number. Before the woman came, they asked us to hold on. We've been there for completely 4 hours. They did not attend to us. So I have to go inside the INEC office, inside the Ethiopian local government at the level. So at the process, getting around 2:30, one of the INEC officials just came. They asked the woman that the woman should shut down the system. They did not do anything. He said we should just go out. Before I know, someone else asked us to go to our state to register. This is not our state. So, is that one fair?
Yeah, okay. It's not fair. We'll take the next call. So, hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
Morning.
On the other time, East Nigeria.
Chris, there's something wrong with your phone. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, Pastor.
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladigbo.
Yes.
I'm calling from Orile Gomu.
Yes.
Uncle Jimmy, with this labor protest, I would have suggested, because the way this government sees protest, they see it as if it's a taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would have suggested that even if it is one day strike, that would have even been better than this protest. Because, like they always say, I don't know why protest is no longer fashionable in this system. So, I would have preferred one day, let them shut down the system for one day so that this government too will realize that they are in for it. Enough is enough.
Okay.
Thank you, and God bless Nigeria.
You know, you must be open-minded about these things. You must be open-minded about these things. With the anticlimax that this thing has followed, I am inclined to sympathize with those who believe that this could jolly well have been done, could jolly well, to put it in street language, could have been sponsored by the government, because it's of no effect, if you ask me. And one of the tactics is to seize initiative of the opposition at times like this. This has turned out to be a complete anticlimax. I don't know what the whole noise was about. And this is definitely not going to speed up the resolution of the ASU crisis. It's going to have virtually no effect. This is something that is done just to fulfill all righteousness. But that's okay. These things happen. We learn every day. That's why you find some of us are not so excited, that excited, when we hear these things, until we see it happen. That is what makes some of us skeptics. You know, when you hear things like this are going to happen, you just wait quietly and see how it pans out. And there you go. Because this is a handful of, then I said there were just about 100 people. So what was the whole noise about? Well, we'll see. And they say they'll have, you know, these people can have big money. There's going to be a mega rally. Like my people in Efikland say, intricate, we shall see. You didn't know that I speak a bit of Efik,
did
you?
I didn't know.
Ah,
and I'm half that.
You don't know anything. As the architect, he will tell you. As the architect, the joys of knowing how to speak that language. That's your dad. Ask him.
Do you think he can speak it?
Hey, we will know some of it. Jare, pick the next caller for me.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, that Uncle Jimmy.
Yes, it's me.
Good morning, sir. Me, I know too much. You go book.
I know.
Why we say any policy they introduce for Nigeria?
Yes.
The different one we are applying not for here, because they say for there, house to house, that they register. But here, we live for Ikorodu. you go to Ikorodu Igbogbo side about 5 kilometers, and you go there more than 5 days, never reach you.
All right, I will answer your question very simply. You know, politics involves all tactics, so you must be ahead of your game. Do you understand what I'm saying? You must be ahead of your game. You must be ready to meet your perceived opponent at any turn. So rather than complain, do something. Okay, I think I can let me explain something to you. To enjoy my program and to enjoy me, you must understand the craft of innuendo, you know, and sarcasm, so that you get a full understanding of the things that, well, you know, it's not everything, like they will say, you can say with all your mouth, oh, if you cannot speak with all your mouth. How you use half of the mouth or a quarter of the mouth, I honestly don't know. By the way, follow me on Twitter, at Jimmy Disu. You know, you need to follow me on Twitter, follow me on Facebook. Go and read my blog every day, jimmydisu.com. You'll get a lot of information there. It's not just what you think is cut and paste, no. You find a lot of knowledge. Just go by it, you know, once in a while. But follow me on Twitter. It's very important. Some of the things we will not be talking. And we will talk out for Twitter now. Okay, I'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow is Dear Bumi. Meanwhile, I'd like to thank Isoke, who is going to ask the architects whether the architect has any little knowledge of ethic or not. The architect, my papa. Kura. Say you get you heard what I said about innuendo. Koti Iye, she's still giggling here. Do you get it?
I feel like
you don't. Do you get it?
I think I
know you don't know nothing.
I know. Yes. Explain to the answer, please.
Tomorrow, come and give me an answer.
Okay.
So we'll be back again tomorrow with Diabome. It's okay. We'll be here. And Philip, thank you very much. Philip, your common men, they disappoint me. They fall my hand. On Saturday, can you imagine? We invited them an hour to the program. One, two didn't even pick their phones. One kept saying, I mean, go slow. And the person sitting next to him, you could hear the mouth of that one cracking a bone. We don't chop with bone. They said, he called the Philip. I'm in traffic. We will soon get there. There was no sound of motor, nothing at all. Igote, honestly. I'll see you all tomorrow at 9. Bye.
Free Nigeria Info. We'll be right back. Have you been disconnected because you didn't link your national identification number to your MTN number? Don't worry. If you already have your NIN, here are 5 ways to reconnect. 1. Dial *785#. 2. Text your national identification number NIN to 785. 3. Chat with Ziggy on WhatsApp number +234 9033 000001. 4. Visit my MTN NG app. Or 5. Visit www.mtn.ng. If you don't have a national identification number, just walk into any MTN store or NIMSI center near you, or visit the MTN website to book an appointment. What are we doing today? The creamy coffee taste of Cowbell Coffee. Round the clock, it's really delicious. Taste it and you will love it. Cowbell Coffee. Taste the creamy side of coffee.
Sumbo, Sumbo, where are you going looking like you want to beat somebody? My sister, see me see trouble. I beg, see what in I order. See what in the deliver give me. It resemble and I don't pay online, no. Chai, now why me I dey like buy online only on Jumia and return or change my item for free if I change my mind? And you tell me before, now Jumia go dey buy from going forward. But first, Nazli Apparel, now me and you today. Sumbo, Sumbo.
Enjoy peace of mind that comes with free returns when you shop on Jumia and avoid stories that touch. Jumia, your everyday delivered.
Power oil, power oil. time to enjoy better life with Itel TV. Go for Itel TV. Buy Itel TV and enjoy Itel TV. Wow, Itel TV, the best for home offices and other places of different types. 19 inches, 32 inches, and 43 inches. With super bright and perfect sound quality. It's durable, also affordable. This is the best time to buy all range of Itel TV. Don't buy just any TV. Buy Itel TV. Itel, enjoy better life.
Is this a mistake?
What? What's that? What happened?
See, I just bought 1,000 Naira Glo data, and instead of the usual, I got 3.9 gigabytes.
Guy, I swear, that's how I saw it too. I bought 2,000 Naira data yesterday, and I got a whopping 9.2 gigabytes.
Wow! Glo data is just always bigger.
Yep, and always better. I swear down. Babe, why are you removing your SIM?
I'm leaving this network and getting a Glo SIM immediately. And I'm not giving you my new number. You're on probation. Why didn't you tell me about this new Glo data plans?
Glo new data plans. Always bigger, always better.
Babe, sorry now.
Yes, get a Glo SIM card today and enjoy bigger, better data on the Glo network. Just dial *777# hash and choose your plan. And if you link your NIN to your Glo line, up to free 20,000 Naira bonus awaits you.
Glo Unlimited.
Peak protein breakfast. That's the secret to how mom wakes up early, makes breakfast for us, and runs off to work. How daddy works most nights and still gets up early to drop me at school. No matter how busy they are, they're never too tired to play with me. And that's because they never leave home without a Peak protein breakfast.
Start every day with a Peak breakfast and enriched with protein to keep you going.
Peak. Rich for your peak. Listening to your number one station for talk.
Your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
Join the conversation no matter where you are. Download our mobile app by searching Nigeria Info FM on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. Also, get news updates and sports, entertainment, news, and current affairs right on the app. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
It's 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
The news update on 99.